turn over to Matthew 16, and we're going to go Matthew 16 first. So this morning, we're going to start this series about All In. I'm really excited about it today. We're going to be preaching this series about All In for the next, really, the month of February. And we're going to be sharing about being all in with God and with your church. So Matthew 16 and verse 16, it says, "So Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" In verse 17, Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, Church on the Rock. Little shout out, Church on the Rock. "And upon this rock, I will build my church." Everybody say, "My church." "And all the powers of hell will not conquer it." In verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, for whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." So if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is Planted in God's House. Planted in God's House. Now, I believe you're going to help me this morning because I need to preach it like I feel it. I'm excited about this because there's certain things I'd really, really love talking about in church. There's certain things I'm really anointed to talk about. One thing is passion. When I talk about passion, I'm anointed to talk about passion because I'm passionate. But there's another thing I'm anointed, and I know this is my anointing, to talk about God's house, to talk about the local church, because I love the church. And so today we want to talk about planted in God's house. And I know this is Life Group Sunday, and trust me, everything I'm going to say today is going to pertain to Life Group Sunday and to fit into Life Group Sunday, and we're excited about it. But we're going to talk today about planted in God's house. Now, we need to be all in with God, but all in with our church. And notice Jesus said here in Matthew 16, let's bring it back up in verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Notice Jesus said, "I will build my church." So I want to talk to you a second about what is the church, and is it important, and does it still matter in 2021? Well, let me give you a definition of what the church means. In this passage, this word church means ekklesia. Ekklesia, it's a Greek word, and this word means the called out ones. It means an assembly or community of believers. Notice when it talks about the church, it never talks about the individual. When it talks about the church, it never just talks about the one, because you cannot be the church by yourself. You cannot pastor yourself at Coffee Crossing. You cannot pastor yourself from your couch watching live stream. You cannot disciple yourself listening to a podcast. No, the church means the called out ones, plural. It means the community and the assembly of believers together. Because we are not just the church by ourselves. We are the church when we come together. And Jesus said, "This is what I'm building on the earth, and this is what's going to change the world. I'm building my church," the ecclesia, the called out ones, the assembly and community of believers in my name. And the church is God's idea, not man's idea. I know I'm only 6 minutes in, but am I too passionate for you? Because I'm just getting started. But the church is God's idea, not man's idea. Let me tell you something about the church of Jesus Christ. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the solution to the world's problems. Let me tell you this morning, President Biden is not the solution to the world's problems. President Trump is not the solution to the world's problems. The Democratic Party and Republican Party is not the solution to the world's problems. Come on now. You're right. You're right. Save the whales, save the trees, save whoever you want, but that's not the solution to the world's problems. The vaccine is not the solution to the world's problems. All of these organizations we try to make to solve the world's problems will never solve it because they're not the church. They're only phony substitutes of the church. But the church is God's idea and God's plan, and the church is the hope of the world. You're saying, well, Jesus is, but Jesus is doing it through his church. Church is the solution to the world's problems. How do I know that? Because the plan is that the church would go into all the world and preach the gospel. The plan was that the church would carry on the mission of God and fulfill the plan, and then Jesus would come back. We are not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. The church is the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. But guess what? The head is not going anywhere unless the body moves it. The church is the vehicle that God is using to change the world. There is no other vehicle. So you can change laws, but you cannot change the world unless the church changes it. You can change policies, but you cannot change the world unless the church changes it. You can do whatever you want on the outside, but if people are going to change from the inside, the church is going to have to change it. And church is the vehicle that God is using to change the world. And not just this church, but every church. And that's the reason that the church works, because the plan is that there wouldn't just be one big church that changes the world, but there would be local churches in every community, in every city, in every province, in every small town, in every part of the world. There would be a local church changing that part of the world. And if we change this part of the world, and this church changes this part of the world, guess what? The world will be changed. But God is doing that through his church. In Ephesians 5, it says that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. In Matthew 16, Jesus said he's building one thing on the earth, the church of Jesus Christ. And he's building this church to the place that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. I just got to remind you, church, you're not on the losing side. You're not victims here. I know last year was tough on everybody for many reasons, but we're not losers here. We are the ones in charge. We are the ones in authority. And the Bible says that if we are part of his church, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We have to remember that we have the authority and we can change things when we want to change things. The question is not whether the world is winning or the church is winning. The only reason that the world has more power is the church doesn't stand up. But Jesus is building his church to the place that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Jesus loves it and he gave himself for it. He's building his church. He's still here. Many people have issues with the church today. They say, well, you know, the church has done a lot of harm. But actually, let's get to the facts. The church of Jesus Christ has done more good in the world by far than any other person, individual, and organization. The church of Jesus Christ has built more universities than any other organization. How many atheists built them? Nobody. All the major hospitals in the world, not just in this country, that are helping people and healing people, were created by the church. More people are getting fed this morning physical food by the church than any other organization. More people are getting clothed this morning by the church than any organization. The church of Jesus Christ is not just dealing with the world's physical needs, but their spiritual needs, their mental needs, their emotional needs, their social needs, and every need they have. And there is no comparison to what the church has done in the past 2,000 years with any other religion, movement, organization, or human being. Right. Everybody's like, well, you know, the church has done this and the church has done that. Yeah, the church has done way more good than any other thing that's went bad. And just because there was a few bad apples, don't throw out the whole thing. Because there's billions and billions of other ones that were doing it right and doing it good. And the church has been the greatest change agent that the world has ever seen. The church has done more good to heal people, to deliver people, to set people free, to deal with their physical needs and every other need than any other thing. The church. So I'm going to deal with a couple. You could tell I get a little passionate about this. I want to deal with a couple different things that sometimes people say about the church, some misconceptions, and I want to deal with them because sometimes you've said this or sometimes you've heard other people say this. I'm going to deal with it. Here's one of them. Well, I just love Jesus, but not the church. False. You can't. Because if Jesus says he loves the church and gave himself for the church, then if you love Jesus, you will love what he loves. So you don't love Jesus and not the church. That's not true. You only kind of halfway love Jesus, and you're trying to use that as an excuse to not be a part of a church. Because you're rebellious and you want to do your own thing. I'm barely into this. You got to come with me here. No, there's no such thing as I love Jesus but not the church. No, if you love Jesus, you will love what he loves. And Jesus says he loves the church, gave himself for the church, and is building the church. So if you love Jesus, then you'll look like Jesus, and that means you will love the church, you will give yourself for the church, and you will build the church. The church is described as Jesus' bride. So if you're hating on the church, you're hating on Jesus' bride. He doesn't have good feelings towards you. You're talking about his girl. Hating on his girl. But I just love Jesus, not the church. Not true. Not true. Because if you love Jesus, you'll love what he loves. Here's another one. I don't come to church because everyone there is a hypocrite. You want to know the answer to that? Yes. I don't come to church because they're all hypocrites. Yes, we're all hypocrites. We are. Because every one of us in here has said one thing and done the other. Every one of us, including your pastor. So if that's what's keeping you out of church, then just stay home. And we all should stay home because we're all hypocrites here. This idea that I don't come to church because they're all hypocrites, it's not true and not right because every one of us has this issue. We don't come to church because people are perfect. You don't come to church because your pastor is perfect because he's not. You come to church because you're here to worship God who is perfect. I come to church to worship God who is right. I come to church to be with my fellow believers because I need help. Not because I'm perfect. I come to church to grow, not because I'm perfect. I come to church to learn, not because I'm perfect. That's why you're here. Is to grow and to learn and to worship God together, not because, well, people are hypocrites there. We all are hypocrites in some ways. But we don't come to church for that reason. We come to church because we worship God. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to do this together because we all need help and we need each other. Here's another one. I've been hurt. I've been hurt by the church. Well, let's get this right. You haven't been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by people. Maybe people in the church. Maybe the church leadership. But don't blame it on the church. Blame it on people that are human beings that aren't perfect. Don't blame it on God. And you know, that's true. We've all been hurt. But why can church members do that and leave, but the pastor gets hurt, but he can't leave? Y'all, we would have left a long time ago if that was the case. I could list a couple hundred names right now. You want to go there? Did I leave? Did we leave? We ain't going nowhere. Why? Because we're more grown up than that. I've been hurt. Well, don't blame it on God and don't blame it on the church. Blame it on people that ain't right. Y'all want this today or not? I can't tell. I've been hurt. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by the restaurant, but you still go back. You've been hurt by your coworkers, but yet you're still there for the paycheck. You've been hurt by your family, but you still go to the same dumb functions, don't you? Yet when it comes to church, you have a different standard, but actually you should have the best standard when it comes to church. I'd give up that stuff way before I'd give up the church. How many can admit your thinking is not right there? You've been hurt in every other area, but you don't give that up. But let's just throw away God and the people that can actually help me. Let's throw them away first. But I've been hurt by everybody else, but let's just keep them in my life. You want this real today or not? I'm just going there. So I've been hurt by the church, and it's true. There has been people that hurt you, and there's been leaders that hurt you. And I'm sorry for that. But you got to realize, no one's perfect. We are all sinful, broken human beings without God, and we make dumb decisions. But we're not here, once again, because we are for perfect people. We're here because we serve a perfect God, and we're trying to grow and learn and get better in our relationship with Him and find out who we are in Him. Here's another one. I just don't like church because it's a building. It's organized religion. Well, let me tell you something about that. That's like the same thing as you saying, yeah, we have a family, but we don't have a house. We just live on the street because we're really not into organized houses. We're really not into buildings around here because that's not the family anyways. No, you know that your family needs a house to live in, to do life in. And you're smart enough to know, yeah, duh, that's not our family. The house we live in is not our family. But yet we still need a house to live and to do stuff. And the same way the church, this building is not the church. But we need buildings to do what we're called to do. We need buildings to have services. We need buildings to help your kids. We need buildings to have events. We need buildings to have life groups. We need buildings to do what the family of God is called to do. So yeah, I agree with you. I'm not into organized religion and buildings either. But we need them to facilitate the family of God and give us some structure. And here's my favorite one. I'm a part of the global church, just not the local church. No such thing. There's over 100 times in the New Testament it refers to the church. And about 90 of those times refer to a local assembly of believers. Every book you read in the New Testament is written to a local church or local churches. Every leader you see mentioned in the Bible is a leader in the local church. There is no such thing as a letter written to you in your basement playing Xbox, pastoring yourself. It didn't make the book. Paul was not writing letters to those people. Paul was writing letters to a local church. Paul was writing to leaders in the local church because it was assumed in the first early church that you were a part of this thing. And you weren't just in the global church. You were in a local assembly in a family of believers where you lived at. So we can't say I'm a part of the global church unless we're a part of the local church. And we need to be planted in God's house. Now let's look over at Psalm 92. Did you guys get anything so far? Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and we're going to start in verse 12. Psalm 92, and we're going to read here. I love this. This whole passage is kind of a word picture what the life of those who are planted in God's house looks like. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bear fruit in old age. Come on, where are my seasoned saints at? They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, we're still talking about the church. We're talking about being planted in God's house. Now, notice it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Now, what is the house of the Lord? We know the house of the Lord in the New Testament is the local church. It even says that all throughout your New Testament, but especially in Timothy, it says that the house of God or the house of the Lord is the church. But notice it talks about there's fruit or results in being planted. First, I want to tell you, you need to be planted somewhere. The question is, are you planted or are you potted? Because I know a lot of potted believers and they have no fruit. I know a lot of potted believers and they have no growth. I know a lot of potted believers and they're weak when the storms of life hit them. Because they're potted, but they're not planted. You need to get planted somewhere in a local assembly, in a local church, in the house of the Lord to see the benefits of those who are planted. You got to get committed to the place that God has called you to be and let your roots grow down deep so you can produce fruit, so you can grow, so you can be strong. But are you planted or are you potted? A lot of believers are potted. But they got no fruit. They got no growth. They got no strength. When the storms of life hit and the winds blow, they are easily blown over because they have no roots. Are you planted or are you potted? A lot of people are potted. So I come to Church on the Rock this week, and if I don't like it, I'm going to Graceland next week. And if I don't like it, I'm going to Northside next week. And if I don't like it, then I'm going to Southeast next week because I'm potted. I'm not planted. And I'm going to keep running because anybody who tries to keep me accountable or says something I don't agree with, I'm going to keep running away because I'm a baby. And I'm sucking my thumb and I think I'm right. So I'm going to keep running around being potted, and then say, why do I have no fruit in my life? Why do I never grow? Why do the storms of life keep blowing me over? Because I'm potted. I'm not planted. And I got no root system. I got no root system. And a lot of believers are that way, especially in America, where we think we have the freedom to choose. And we love our individual freedoms. I can do whatever I want to do. Because choosing churches is just like choosing a show on Netflix. If I don't like it, I'll just find a different one. If I don't like that one, I'll just find a different one. If someone confronts me, I'll just find a different one. If pastor is having a bad day, I'll just find a different one. It's quiet in this Methodist Assembly of God Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Isn't it? Are you potted or are you planted? And I'm not saying that to condemn you, but I'm saying that for you to think, do I have fruit or do I not? Am I growing or am I not? Am I strong or am I not? Because maybe you're potted and you're not really planted. Or I love this. Brother Sean said this many years ago. There's tumbleweed Christians. So they're not planted or potted. They have no fruit, no stability, and no life. Because they keep rolling, 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 rawhide. From one place to another, to another, to another. And tumbleweeds have no fruit, no growth, no stability, no life. And a lot of Christians look like that. So they're not planted or potted. They're a tumbleweed believer. But if we want to experience the benefits of being planted, which we just read them and we're going to read them again, We have to be planted, not potted. We got to be planted in the right place. Now, I'm going to take you a step deeper, and I get really excited when I talk about this. It's important that you're planted, yes, but you don't just need to be planted. You need to be planted where you're called to be planted. Because where you are planted matters. Listen to me here. The soil you are planted in will determine the fruit you produce. The soil you are planted in will determine the fruit that you produce. Now, I want to deal with this for a second because we live in such a culture that says, I have the right and the freedom to choose whatever I want to choose. But your freedom to choose is not always what's best for you. So, once again, it's not just important that you're planted, it's important that you're planted in the right soil, because the soil you're planted in will determine the fruit you produce. So I'm going to talk about, for a second, how do you choose the right church to be planted in? Because the soil you're planted in will determine the fruit you produce. Here's the reasons you don't choose a church. The kids' ministry. Y'all just got the wind knocked out of you. Let me finish what I'm saying. You don't choose where you're planted because of kids' ministry. But by the way, we have an amazing kids' ministry at Church on the Rock. You don't choose the church you're planted in because it's the biggest or the smallest. You don't choose the church to get planted in because all your friends just go there. Which I would hope that your friends do go here because you're in life together with them. You don't even choose the church because you like the pastor. Somebody say amen to that. Or you like the way he preaches, or you don't like the way he preaches. I'm going to make it really simple. You choose the church to be planted in because that's where God told you to be planted. So I got to hear from God. I can't base this off the kids' ministry. I can't base this on how the church looks. I can't just base this off the pastor. I can't just base this off the worship team. I can't just base this because my friends go here. I got to listen to God. Yes. You need to be planted where God tells you to be planted. Because the soil you're planted in will determine the fruit that you produce. You need to come to this church because God told you to plant in this church. You need to come to this church because God told you that I'm your pastor and to plant in this church. And if he didn't, no offense, but go somewhere else where God told you to be. Because if he didn't tell you to be here, you won't grow to where you should be growing. You should be somewhere else where you should be growing. I'm not saying that in an offensive way. I'm saying that for your benefit. If God told you to be at Northside, go to Northside and grow. Because if you're planted here, you won't grow to where you should grow at Northside. If God told you to be at Southeast, then go be at Southeast. Because that's the soil you should be planted in. But if God told you this is your church, then that means this is the right soil that you're going to grow the most and have the most fruit and have the most strength, because this is where God said to be planted. And here's the thing about God. God knows better than you. And God knows the right soil for you. So God's going to tell you where you should be. I didn't tell you you had to come here. I said, come here if God told you to be here. You got to go where God told you to be, because in that soil is where you're going to grow. You got to produce fruit. You're going to be in the perfect will of God. Listen to this example. If you're an orange tree, you're not going to grow to where you should grow in southern Indiana. Isn't that right? But we're trees. We can plant anywhere, right? That's what a lot of Christians' excuse is. A church is a church, pastor. I could go wherever I want. No, you can't. Because you're not going to grow to the place you should grow unless you're in the soil that God told you to plant in. An orange tree is not going to grow and produce the fruit it should in southern Indiana. An orange tree needs to be in a tropical climate like Florida. And God knows where you should plant. And vice versa. If you're a certain type of tree that is in southern Indiana, you're not going to grow best in Florida. You're going to grow best here. Well, pastor, they're all trees. Just plant them anywhere. Nature has this figured out more than us. Yeah, you could plant them everywhere, but they're not going to grow best everywhere. I'm helping some people this morning if you're listening. Yeah, you could plant it anywhere, but it's not going to have the best fruit everywhere. You could plant it anywhere, but it's not going to be strong everywhere. So that's what I have to say about being planted in the local church and how to find the right church to plant in. You need to have God tell you where to plant. And once he tells you to plant, stay planted. Let your root system grow deep like a brother Les. Let the root system grow deep and let it grow you up. And let there be fruit produced from your life. And get stronger and stronger and stronger because you've been planted in the right place. Because the soil you are planted in will determine the fruit you produce. And I love you today as your pastor, but if God didn't tell you to be here, don't be here. Be where God called you to be, and vice versa. If you're somewhere else, church shopping, and you already know it's Church on the Rock, but you don't like the confrontation you get at Church on the Rock, then listen to God, because he knows better than you. The soil you are planted in will determine the fruit you produce. Here's something interesting. Let me just pick on this a few more seconds. I've had meetings with people before when they're leaving our church, trying to talk some sense into them at times. There's certain people I know, no, you need to go. No offense, I love you, but you need to go. Maybe you don't fit here. There's those conversations. But then there's other people I know that they need to be here. I know this is the right place for you. And you're leaving for petty reasons. You're being offended over stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with even your pastor. It's other people. And they'll say, I'm going to go to this church. No shadiness when I say this. But I know what that other church preaches. And you know way more than what that church preaches. So let me tell you something real quick. You will never grow in that church when you know more than the pastor does. How you going to grow? Well, I'm just going to go to this church down the road because, you know, I'm kind of offended here. And, you know, I know I kind of met Church on the Rock, but I just feel like I need to leave. I feel like God's transitioning me. But are you going to grow there when you know more than what's being taught? What's the answer? No, you're not. I've had these conversations with many people. I'm like, if you really don't like us and like me, then yes, leave. But if you're going there trying to use the excuse that I'm going to transition and grow and become spiritually strong in a church that preaches less than what I already know, you're not thinking straight. That's like if you were in 10th grade and you went back to 2nd grade saying the 2nd graders were going to teach you something. Well, I'm going back to 2nd grade to learn. You're in 10th grade. How are they going to teach you anything? All All right, thanks, guys. It's true, isn't it? Some of you are like, I'm being quiet because I was about to have that conversation with Pastor. I was telling him I was going right down the road. He just interrupted my conversation before I even had it. Can you not agree with me on this here? Let's not disguise it as I'm going somewhere else to grow. Now, if God told you to go, go. But let's not go to a church that you already know does not teach what you already know. They don't teach the word on that level. They don't believe in the spirit-filled life. They don't believe in healing, deliverance, faith, or anything that you already know. And you are spiritually strong because you know those things. And I'm going to go to a church that preaches a gospel-light message just so I can hide in the pews and forget about the accountability that I knew at Church on the Rock. I could do the moonwalk right now. I feel so good on that. Is that not the truth? I'm not hating. I'm just being a real pastor today. If God told you to go somewhere, go. But don't disguise it as I'm going to grow. Pastor doesn't feed me anymore. Maybe you don't eat anymore. Okay, I got to get off this. Excuse me. God knows the right soil you're to be planted in. And it will determine the fruit you produce. So how do you choose a church? How do you know where to be planted? Go to where God told you to be planted. Because that's where you will grow best. That's where you will have the most fruit. And that's where you will become strong. Once again, I'm not putting pressure on you. If it's not here, go there, wherever it is. Go where God has told you, because in that place, you will grow best. Let's talk about a few of these things on the results of being planted in the right place. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Let's read this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. How many know, doesn't that sound good, flourish? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let's just leave this verse up here right now, because we're talking about what are the results about being planted in God's house, being planted in the right place. Well, let me tell you a little bit something about a palm tree. Well, it says the righteous shall grow like a palm tree. Notice, when they're planted in the right place. Here's something about a palm tree. If you study about palm trees, especially in the Bible, palm trees stand for abundance. They stand for provision. When you're planted in the right place, you're going to have abundance and provision because you're planted in God's house. Here's something about palm trees. They live long. There's longevity with them. A lot of palm trees live to be at least 100 years old because there's longevity with palm trees. Here's something else about a palm tree. Now, these are all the fruit or results of being planted in the right place. Palm trees are strong and stable. How many know when you see on the news a hurricane just wiped out a big part of Florida or Louisiana or that part of the state in a tropical climate, you'll see houses down, but palm trees are still standing. And he's saying this is what you're going to be like when you're planted in the house of the Lord. You're going to be like the palm tree. You're going to be strong and stable. You're going to live long. You're going to have abundance and provision because you're planted in the right place. And so hurricanes come and go, but palm trees are still standing because they're planted in the right place. Palm trees have roots that go down, and they keep them stable and strong and flexible when the storms of life come. That's what I don't understand about some people that don't have roots, because they realize as soon as the storm comes, they're going to be blown away easily because they have no roots. And the next thing it says that you're going to be like a cedar in Lebanon. You're going to grow when you're planted. Here's something about a cedar, and specifically the cedars of Lebanon in the Bible. The cedars of Lebanon are known to be strong. When you're planted, you're going to be strong. They stand for prosperity. When you're planted in God's house, you're going to be prosperous. The cedars of Lebanon are known for their growth because they grow to an immense size. When you're planted in the right place, you're going to grow and grow and grow and grow when you're planted in the house of the Lord. The cedars of Lebanon are known as the king of trees because of they're so large and they're so strong. The cedars of Lebanon were used in the building of Solomon's temple because of how large they were and how nice they were and how strong they were. And the temple that Solomon built, that he used gold and silver and stone, he used precious wood to build God's house. And he chose the cedars of Lebanon to build God's house. And when you're planted in God's house, God says, I want you to be like a cedar in Lebanon, because I'm going to use you to build my house. And let's keep going. Next verse. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Next verse. And they shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. Let's stop right here. Are you noticing the pattern with all the trees listed? It kept saying things like this. All these trees have in common, they live long, because they're planted in the house of the Lord. There's longevity. I'm looking around this congregation and I see some longevity. And I know why, because you've been planted in the house of the Lord. It says also they're going to be living in abundance and provision and health and vitality because they're planted in the house of the Lord. It says they will still bear fruit in old age and they will be fresh and flourishing. Notice they won't be barely getting along when they get older. They're not going to be down at the old person's home when they get older. No, they're going to be a part of the ministry of helps when they're older. They're still going to be praying more than ever when they're older. They're going to be a part of life groups when they're older. They're going to be a more anointed and wise when they're older because they've been planted in the house of the Lord. Some translations say they will be full of sap. You're thinking, sap? Really? But a better translation, some translations will say they will be full of oil. That's the anointing. When they get older, they're not going to be full of complaints. They're not going to be full of bitterness. They're going to be full of anointing. But not just because they got older, because they were planted in the house of the Lord. You still here today? I'm going to share a few more things with you as I close here. We're going to have Life Group Sunday. Go back and sign up for our groups. I was thinking about trees throughout the Bible, the palm tree, the cedar tree. But I was thinking about a more modern day tree that would be close to some of the trees that were listed. And I want to talk to you a second about a sequoia tree that are in the redwoods of California. These trees grow to be hundreds of feet tall. They live very long, thousands of years. The oldest sequoia tree is 2,500 years old. I know you're saying, Pastor, I'm not believing for that. Okay. I didn't say you're going to live that old. But these trees live long and grow tall and stay strong for one reason. And this is exactly why you need to be planted in the house of the Lord and be a part of a life group. Because these sequoia redwoods, the reason they're so strong and tall, the reason they grow so large and live so long, is their root system is intertwined. So they're not just depending on the strength of one tree. That's why you need a local church. They're depending on the strength of hundreds of other trees. And all these sequoia redwoods, all their root system is intertwined together. So they grow taller and stronger and live longer because they do it together. That's why it's so important to be planted in the house of the Lord. You shall flourish because your root system grows down deep. And my root system gets with Isaac's root system and Jerry and Lois's root system and Mom and Dad's root system and Brother Les and Dale and Arlene's root system and Janet and Justin's root system. And we all get stronger from it. And we all grow taller from it. And we all live longer from it because we're not depending on our own strength. We're depending on the root system of the group. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. So the root system is intertwined. And these trees know better than most believers. Because they live in community. They do life together. It's amazing how nature sometimes is smarter than human beings. I want to share a few things with you as I close what happens when they share their root system. First of all, they share strength. Because these trees grow to be hundreds of feet tall, but their root system is intertwined, so when the wind blows and the storms of life come, they don't fall over because they have roots that grow down deep, but deeper than themselves. Their root system spreads out between hundreds and thousands of other trees. So when one feels like it's about to fall, it stays steady because the other trees, their root systems keep them strong. It's the same way with us because there's people in here, you're going to feel weak sometimes, but other people, if you got your roots in the right place, will keep you strong. There are going to be times in your life that you want to give up. But if you have your root system down deep, you won't give up because I got roots. There's going to be times that you feel like you're going to fall over because the storms of life are blowing you. But I got a couple hundred other people that got my back and I'm not going anywhere because my roots are intertwined with everyone else. And when I'm weak, somebody else is strong. And when somebody else is weak, I'm strong. But that only happens when they're planted in the right place. They're in community. There's strength in numbers. The Bible says that one could put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000 to flight. Listen to this verse in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. It says this very thing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Next verse, please. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But notice this. But two can take a stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Or we could say a triple braided root system. So when we do life together and we get into real community, like it says, planted in the house of the Lord, our root system intertwines with others and we share their strength. Here's the next thing. When your root system grows down deep and you're planted in the house of the Lord, you share nutrients. I know you're not shouting yet, but you will. Pastor, I don't know if I want to shout about nutrients. I wasn't going to come back after last week talking about food. But this is what nutrients are. Nutrients are the substance that provides nourishment essential for growth and life. When you see the sequoia redwoods all sharing root systems, the reason they grow so tall, so strong, is they share nutrients. Because there could be one tree over here that's not getting enough water, but since they're sharing roots, the ones who are stronger will share with the weak their water. They'll share their nutrients. Notice they'll share their nutrients for growth and for strength. All trees need and require lots of nutrients, just like humans do. We need food. We need water. We need all these things to keep us strong. But notice this. we have to have these things in our life to grow strong and to be living long. I thought of this when I was reading this about nutrients in these trees, because they share their nutrients together. That's why they stay so strong. And one of the things was, it said that they have to have a very nutrient-dense diet. So I was trying to look up, what is a nutrient-dense diet? It's high in all the vitamins, minerals, and carbs without the calories. And I felt like God said to this, you need a nutrient-dense church. You know why? Because we ain't got no time to be in a church that's not a nutrient-dense church. We're living in some trying times, and we're living in some times that there's a lot going on. I can't just go to a church that's going to play with it and worship. Can't do it. I got to find a nutrient-dense church. What's nutrient-dense? They are high in all the essential things I need without all the calories. That means no fluff. I don't need to go to a church with fluff right now. There's racism in COVID. I don't need fluff. We're in a pandemic. I can't go to a church with fluff. I don't need a sermonette, a cigarette, and a gospel quartet. I need a nutrient-dense church. I can't go to a church who's going to preach out of the Reader's Digest and just give me something out of a sermon book. I need a church that hears from God. I need a church that believes in the power. I need a church that worships God. I need a church that lays hands on the sick and sees them recover. I need a church that believes in deliverance. I need a church that believes in the power of God. Not a church with fluff. Am I a little excited today? God said you need a nutrient-dense church now more than ever. You don't need no church that's giving you all the calories and no vitamins. You're fat, but you're not healthy. You're full of the Christian radio and devotional books, but you ain't got no substance to you. You need a nutrient-dense church. That means they're high in vitamins and minerals, and they're low in calories. We need a nutrient-dense church. And I'm not saying we're the only one in the community, because there's a lot of great churches on this side of the river and in Louisville. But I'm saying you got to find one. Today is a day to be in a nutrient-dense church. Just like these trees, the only reason they grow strong is because of their nutrients. We need a nutrient-dense church. A nutrient-dense church looks like this. It has food and water. What does the Bible say food and water is? The Word and the Spirit. You need a church that believes in the Word of God and preaches the full Word of God, not the politically correct version of the Word of God. Not if I offend somebody, I won't read that verse, Word of God. Not if this makes somebody uncomfortable, I'll skip this chapter in the Bible, Word of God. You need somebody who preaches the full Word of God. Speaking the truth in love, yes, but the full counsel of God. And you need a church that's not going to act like the Spirit of God isn't alive and well. Like he lost power 2,000 years ago at the day of Pentecost, and we don't know what he's going to do. Yes, I know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do what the Bible says he's going to do. And the Spirit of God is still alive today. And we believe in his power. Power to live a new life. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to accomplish all the plan of God. We believe in the Word and the Spirit, because that's a nutrient-dense church. I'm not going to have a voice for a week, but I'm going to be thankful I preached this. Are you? Because this is what you need. So we need a church like that that preaches the Word and the Spirit. I'm not going to turn here, but the verse that God gave me this semester for life groups was Romans 1, 11, and 12. Actually, you know what? I am going to read it. It's my church. I'll read it. It says, for I'm yearning to see you that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. That is, that we may be mutually strengthened and encouraged and comforted by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, what does the scripture say? It says that when you come together with fellow believers in like a life group setting, you're sharing each other's nutrients. You're sharing each other's strength. And when you come together, you're being comforted and encouraged together by the strength that you're sharing. Why? Because your root system is intertwined. And notice it says that when you come together, it's not going to be one person's giving and one person's taking, but when you come together mutually, you both will leave encouraged. You both will leave refreshed. You both will leave built up because you've shared your strength and you shared your nutrients together. Did you guys get something today? I preached myself happy this morning.